Sheriff, this is no time to panic.
This is the perfect time to panic!
I'm Steve Benson.
And I'm Paul Schultz.
And this is the Don't Panic Radio Show. Sit back, relax, and ignore the news, because nothing you're about to hear is true. And welcome to the show. We got a good one for you. We're going to have a little jibber jabber, a little small talk in the beginning. We got a new segment. We're trying out new segments lately, in case you didn't notice, because we believe in experimentation,
mm-hmm.
Science, right?
Oh, Steve did a lot of experimentation in college.
That's right. I experimented with a lot of things, a lot of people, a lot of approaches and positions. I think I've got it pretty dialed in now as to what I like. The problem is I can't find anybody to do it with me. But... I love when people go, that's besides the point.
Yes.
So we're going to do a new segment called Tales from the Dad Side. we're doing some new segments, trying to see which ones you guys like and which ones you would be proud to share with your friends. So we feel like if we try new segments, then we find things you guys like, then we'll make them regular segments.
Right.
Another thing we got going is Paul went and saw that movie that came out recently. Wait, get ready for the bots. Avengers: Infinity War. Yeah, I'm a robot.
I was going to say, here's where we get the bots, because I'm standing here, so we'll get plenty of bots.
Good point. And then we'll do a round of what's on the page. And if we think of anything else to talk about, we'll throw that in too.
It's inevitable.
How do you feel about that agenda? Is that a good agenda?
Yeah, it works for me.
All right, let's do that. So how was your week?
Well, it was pretty good, actually.
That's good to hear. Aside from Infinity War, did anything good happen?
No. Nothing bad happened, though.
Well, that's a good week.
No, we're just counting down the last days till school lets out and all hell breaks loose. So the days are just flying by. Now we've only got like 19 more school days, I think.
What happens with your kids when school's out? What do they do?
Ideally, they go to their moms, but that doesn't always happen. So we're hoping this year though we're gonna divide time up over the summer so they can have time there, they can have time here, and then we're going to go to my parents' house. And because my mom and dad, you got a garden, and they like to work in it and stuff and get them all that good fresh air.
That's good. So they stay there a while? Like they go over there for like a week, 2 weeks, all summer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you go with them?
Well, yeah, over there. I'm not going to leave my kids alone with my parents. Especially Aramis.
I don't know. People have been asking me. I got my first, just before we started recording, I got my first, are you okay? You seem down and quiet lately. I'm like, well, how do you know if I'm quiet? You don't even live here. I think it was that post about not having any money.
Yeah, I think,
we'll save it for
you. When you put stuff up like that, you're going to get those kind of things.
Look, man, at least I didn't vague book. I didn't say, some of you know what we've been going through, and you know that it's been difficult. And there are some stressful things happening right now. Thoughts and prayers, please. No, I tell you what's going on.
I used to, but anymore, vague booking is more fun.
But... I was wondering about that.
It yields more entertaining results, trust me.
What happens if you vague book and you get no responses?
Then you know you worded it wrong.
Is that a death spiral at that point?
That's like you go, that's when you're cleaning your shotgun.
Yeah. I cried for help and nobody answered. I thought I was being a little clever though. Because everybody in our neighborhood was always saying, I ain't got money, I got time. It's like, why are you doing that yourself? You can hire somebody to do that. Mm-hmm. I ain't got the money, I got the time.
So shade I used to tree mechanics is what we call them.
That's right. And then I used to say, I ain't got time, I got money. Now I ain't got no time, I ain't got no money. Pooty ain't got no time, Pooty ain't got no money.
What a top.
All right. So we got this line of thinking going here that we're a couple of dads doing a show. And I thought an interesting segment, and just say, you know, full disclosure, I didn't tell Paul about this until about an hour ago. So Paul has no idea what I'm about to do, but it'll sound, it won't sound that much different. It's just a way, it's a mechanism, a gimmick, if you will. Although the word gimmick has taken on a negative connotation. Yes. So I prefer the word manipulation technique.
Yes, that's much more subtle.
I think so. And it's a little something we're going to be calling Tales from the Dad Side. or maybe Paul will think of a better thing to call it, because usually that's what happens.
I do my best thinking behind the curtain.
So. Okay. So installment number one of Tales from the Dad Side. Okay. So the other day, I'm walking with my daughter, my 13-year-old daughter. And what we're doing is we're taking this bucket that has two mice in it. They're alive. And we're taking it down to, there's about a quarter mile or a half mile from our house, there's a barn with some horses and stuff. And we're like, what makes a mouse happier than a barn, right? Unless that barn has cats. Then what makes a cat happier than a mouse in a barn?
That's true.
So we either made two little mice very happy, or we made some barn cat very happy. So we walked down there with this bucket. That's a whole other story, how we caught these mice. apparently, every life has value except for spiders. They want to kill mice, or they don't want to kill mice, but they're okay killing spiders. Spiders are actually useful.
Yeah. No, but you know what? Yeah, that's fine. They can do their job as long as I don't see them doing their job. They're like kitchen help. I don't want to see them doing their job. That's
kitchen help. Look, kitchen help, butchers, spiders, full service, full release massage artists, and spiders.
Just don't confuse them.
Right. So we took and we dumped this bucket of mice out, and we saw the creek was pretty high because it had been raining. This was like a week or week and a half ago. I said, oh, look at Mud Creek. It's pretty high. She's like, yeah. And I said, looks like you could get to it pretty easily there. There's a no trespassing sign, but I mean, there's no houses around, right? You could probably get to it. You know, the people last year, I don't remember if I mentioned this on the show, but last year the girls and their friends from the neighborhood used to go down to the creek, but it's across the street and you have to go through some people's yard. To get down to the creek.
Is that the yard you can't get through because of the gate?
No, that's a different thing. This is the other direction.
Oh, okay.
And those people were happy. They were like, oh, yeah, walk through our yard, go to the creek. That'll be fun, you know. And about halfway through the year, the next time they go over, they're like, I need to talk to your parents. And they tell us, well, some of the people in the neighborhood are a little nervous because, well, if they get hurt or something, you know, that creek is owned by the entire association and not just one house. And, you know, if they get hurt, there's liability concerns, all this stuff. So they stopped the kids being able to go to the creek. So My 13-year-old and I are like, oh, well, there's a way you could get to the creek. There's no houses. Just don't go down too far to the point where you'll be by those houses of those people that hate kids. And she goes, oh, I get it. She's like, so it's okay to break the rules sometimes. I was like, yeah, I'd say it's all right to break the rules sometimes. She goes, and then she follows it up immediately with, as long as you don't get caught, right? I'm like,
you're raising some smart kids there.
I'm like, well, that's one of the considerations. It's not the only consideration. And just because you can get away with something doesn't... Anyway, yeah, if you want to use that little area there to get to the creek, whatever. You know, I don't care. Just don't get me in trouble. She's like, okay, so as long as I don't get caught, I got it. It's like, damn it. I don't think I conveyed the right message. And so we're walking along and I'm thinking, and it occurred to me that for, I don't know, at least the last 15 years, 20 years, all we hear is people going, when I was a kid, we used to get dirty. Mm-hmm. We used to go down to the creek, go fishing, and we'd romp through the creek. Now you can't do any of that. Democrats have ruined everything.
Like, yes, that's true. It's all the Democrats' fault.
Kids these days, they don't know what it's like just to be bored. They always want to be on their devices. They're in their subdivisions with their manicured lawns, and they don't know what it's like just to go down to the creek and just hang out by the creek and talk and like find toads and lizards and just have fun, right? All of those people that just got done saying what I just got done saying are old geezers who are the same exact people telling us to stay off their lawns. Don't go into my creek, you know, because I might get sued. And I was telling my daughter this. I was like, I think that's weird. Don't you think that's weird? It's like the same people. If it was two different sets of people, like one's going, oh, man, we used to get to go to the creek and stuff. Now we don't get. Now kids don't get to do that anymore because of those other people. Mm. No, it's like, no, the kids don't get to do that anymore because of you. You're the one that stopped it. And you're probably a Trump supporter.
It's a projection of guilt or something. They're trying to get it off of them and blame it on the kids who they won't let go to the creek.
Or the Democrats.
Or the Democrats. Damn Democrats.
That was a week and a half or so ago. Earlier today, I get home from work. I'm pleased to see the kids are outside. It's warm out. Mm-hmm. They had figured out how to get the hose unraveled. And they got the kiddie pool out. They're spraying each other. The kids from the neighborhood are in my driveway. Everybody's having a good time. So I come in and, you know, I'm getting changed, having a little small talk with the wife, you know, how was your day? Blah, blah, blah. Who's suing us this week? And have you talked to the lawyer? No, which lawyer? You mean the trial lawyer, the bankruptcy lawyer, the our friend, the lawyer? No. Anyway, so then the 13-year-old comes in. She's like, so Adrian and I are going to go to Mud Creek. And my wife is like, well, hang on. You can't do that anymore. You're not allowed to do that. Yeah, but Adrian knows a way where you go around and you go down and you cut through this way and that way and you get there and they won't even know. Says my wife, I don't know about that. I don't know how I feel about that. What do you think, Steve? I'm like, have you seen Inside Out? Because that's probably what was going on inside my head. So I was like, okay. I think the most important thing in situations like this are to agree with my wife. Because I could try to do the right thing and try to make this a teachable moment for the kid. But the thing that's going to bring me more happiness and satisfaction in life is agreeing with my wife. And so I said, well, you know, even though they wouldn't know, they'd probably see you. Oh, but wait, no, we're going to be in a part where they won't see us. Yeah, but they said not to. Look, I understand it's okay to break the rules as long as you don't get caught, right? Right? And I'm like, so now I'm getting the stare from the wife, right? It's like she has a black belt in that parent stare, right? Oh. And she's giving it to me. Like, what have you been telling her? And I'm like, nah, I'm not saying. I never said it was okay to do something as long as you don't get caught. Besides, you've already been caught. They already caught you. Yeah, but there's, yeah. Adrian said there's another yard, and that guy doesn't care. He said he does it all the time. I was like, and then she goes, and besides, those other people, they probably did this too when they were little. And they're like, why don't kids do this these days? Well, this is why. And now we know a way to do it. And you're always telling us to be outside. And I'm like, I went, I cut down the tree. I took it to the sawmill. I had them cut it down. I had them put it on the lathe, turn it into a club. I had them drive nails into it. I handed it to my daughter, and now she's bludgeoning me over the head with it. Right? We have met the enemy, and the enemy is us.
One of the side effects of raising smart kids is you raise smart kids.
So I look at my wife. I'm like, well, you know, it hasn't rained in a few days. I bet the creek is pretty, not too bad, right? And besides, are you worried about the creek or are you worried about the trespassing part? Because it sounds like they got the trespassing part figured out, right? She's like, well, the creek, you know? And I was like, oh, it hasn't rained for days. And it's supposed to rain tomorrow, so they probably won't be able to go in again. She's like, well, okay. I was like, all right, be back in half an hour to what? Half an hour? This is the daughter. Hmm. I was about to say half an hour to 45 minutes. Oh, 45 minutes? But it won't be dark for another 2 hours. I was like, listen, I said 45 minutes because I feel like if I say 45 minutes, you'll be back probably within the next hour to an hour and a half. Now, don't push your luck. She's like, and then she stopped. She's like, oh, okay. And then... So then that's one of the good things about her is I have at least taught her enough to know if she's not picking up the hints, she knows when I'm telling her to pick up the hints. Mm-hmm. So she may not always be able to take a hint, but she can at least take a hint that I'm giving her a hint, right? So I went and sat down and was checking some emails and stuff like that. And I'm looking at the clock thinking, it's been a while. Probably we ought to start dinner and stuff. And I wonder where, and then the door opens. She walks in. She goes, hey, I didn't die. I'm like, that's positive. I think that's a positive. She goes, it was so fun. You wouldn't believe it. Oh my gosh. She goes, I was relieved, right? Of course. Although we do have life insurance on her. It's weird. I don't know if you bought life insurance on your kids, but we bought life insurance on our kids mainly because it will allow them to be able to have life insurance without the medical thing later in life, but also because it's a little easier to let her walk down the road down to the creek. I mean, let's face it, right? So she says, yeah, it was pretty cool. We saw all kinds of stuff, you know, and we saw these big coyote prints. I was like, that's cool. She's like, and then we saw this trail of blood. Okay. I've never seen any horror movies that started like this. And we followed the trail, and there were these deer bones, like a deer skeleton. How cool is that? And then like, as if it's in the same category, she goes, then there was this big pile of bird poop. It must have been a huge bird.
With feet like a coyote.
Would feel like a coyote. It's not an eagle. It's not a coyote. It's a coy eagle. A coyote hawk. They have chicken hawks. Why can't they have coyote hawks? I think what we can all learn from this is be careful. Be careful. Just be careful. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah. When your kids catch you up like that, you just got to fucking let them go. Because they've thought it through, and like I asked myself, what's the worst that can happen? I don't know how it is in your neighborhood with, you know, trespassing and shit like that. But, you know, like here in the wintertime, we get these huge snow drifts, you know, because the snow plows, they push all the snow so the parking lot's clear. And there's always this one crabby-ass old woman who lives on the corner who won't let the kids play on this monster pile of snow. And my kids will come in and they'll be like, you know, the lady on the corner yelled at us, like, fuck that old lady. What is the worst you're going to... You don't think for a minute that when she was a kid, she wasn't running around climbing on snowbanks?
Right.
And it's also, I mean, they're not playing in the parking lot. It's tucked away from the, you know, from the traffic. So it's not going to be like a, you know, like a It's a Wonderful Life thing where they go sliding off and fall into a creek through the ice or anything like that, or get, you know, have something bad happen to them. But it's like this old lady will complain about everything. And it's like, just go. You have to let them just go. What, the worst thing that's going to happen is like they'll come home and say, somebody yelled at me.
Yeah.
You know.
What? Who put her in charge of that damn hill?
That's what I tell them. It's like, it's not her. Okay. She rents, so it's not her lawn, technically. Yeah. It's not even on her lawn. She just, I think she just hates kids. She's like, you know, what's the lady on the bike in The Wizard of Oz? You know, she's,
oh, yeah. Auntie M.
Yeah, she just hates kids.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Okay, you've taught your kids logic.
Yeah.
And you've... I've explained to my kids that there's some times where you're going to have to, you know, not be on the straight and narrow. You're going to, you know, to... You're going to have to lie. And this is... There's a difference between... You know, I don't call them white lies. There's a good lie, and then there's a lie. Most of the bad lies are where they lie to me. Everything else is kind of, you know, up in the air. But
well, in my house, we call the good lies black lies.
Hmm. I see how you are.
But we also say that those lies don't really matter. So we say black lies don't matter. And that's led to more than one moment of confusion, I have to say, especially when their African-American friends are over. When their African-American gentlemen of friends... Wait, African-American gentlemen of color friends are over. It can lead to some confusion and more than one phone call from the school. But I still stick to black lies don't matter. I don't know what it is with people. I don't know what's up. But I think Tesla said it best when they said signs. Everywhere signs.
I think it's important to bring up, and maybe we touched on it. I've been laughing too hard to remember, but if there's a particular segment that you like, you being the listener, you know, I know they've, I know we get a lot of positive feedback over Softcore History, but you know, if there's a particular segment you guys like, just let us know and we'll do more of them, you know, or at least attempt to.
You know what would be funny? If you like Tales from the Dad Side, or if you think that it's an interesting concept, and by you, I mean the listener, felt like I had to point that out.
Okay, then I'll stop listening then.
Well, now I'm confused. But here's what would be kind of funny is if the listeners recorded, because all you got to do to record, dude, you don't even need a great microphone. Just your laptop has a microphone built in. If you do have a good microphone, that's cool too. But just, you know, it doesn't even have to be that long. Just tell us a story about what happened with your kid, you know. Some funny dad moment when you felt incompetent. I mean, that's most of the time. A dad moment or even a mom moment. I mean, we'll do Tales from the Mom Side too.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, even just using your damn phone for a reference, the 24 steps story from our Halloween show, Adam recorded that on his phone and just sent me the audio, and it sounds immaculate on his end. So, you know, send us your stories.
I remember that you said it sounded immaculate, but I didn't know you were talking about that. You said you had received something and it was immaculate. I thought, Immaculate Reception? Anyway, so yeah, record. You know what? Nobody's going to do it. Nobody ever does it. Everything, except hashtag put it on the page. Everybody's doing that. We should do hashtag send us your story. Maybe hashtags are the secret.
Maybe that's what it is.
Actually, I heard this on a podcast today. Facebook loves, you know, they change their algorithms. And sometimes they love links. They haven't in a long time, but they used to. Sometimes they love video. Sometimes they love GIFs. But right now, and for the past year, they have loved live video. So they have adjusted their algorithms to put live video up toward the top. So, you know, what would be interesting is if we just record a live video that says, hey, we're doing a new segment called Tales from the Dad Side. We'll take mom stories too. Just send us a story, you know, about some moment that is just either funny or so ridiculous that you just have to laugh.
That's a good idea.
And then hashtag put that on the page.
I like that.
Here's one of them damn flying ants. It's on my computer.
Get you an iguana or something.
Ooh. I don't understand. What are these things? I thought ants like live in colonies, and then I thought there was one ant who could fly. And that was like in 2001, Space Odyssey, if one of those monkeys could fly, right? It'd be like, oh, automatically, that's the god monkey right there, right? And so I thought the ant that could fly in the colony, all the other ants were just like, fuck, well, I got nothing that can compare with that. I guess you're the king. You'll be the king ant or queen, whatever gender we have.
I blame the Democrats.
Thanks, Obama.
Well, you know, they always say that, like, okay, you know those little, the ladybugs that aren't ladybugs, the ones that bite you, the orange ones? Well, supposedly, the whether it's true or not, they were supposedly brought in like, the 70s to fight off some kind of aphid population. And now they took over. And they're, like, Japanese or Chinese beetles or some shit.
Yeah.
And it happened during the Carter administration. So to this day, old Republicans, every time they get bit by one of these things, they go, damn Carter administration.
Oh, man. Did he bring in the kudzu vine as well? Or kudzu or kudzu or whatever?
Probably. I mean.
It's crazy. Well, I'll tell you what, man. We got a pretty good first half.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we got a little something we like to call Get Ready for the Bots. Avengers. Infinity War.
Infinity War.
Infinity War.
Infinity War.
From the mysterious reaches of infinity, a gigantic astral body hurtles towards the Earth to terrorize and seal the doom of an unprepared mankind.
How can we prevent it?
A job for the Army. They've got the guided missiles, the nuclear warheads. Intercept and destroy it before it strikes.
As if by design, this death-dealing meteor plunges into the depths of the sea. And in its place emerges an awesome monster such as human eyes have never seen. Ronan.
And let's stop somehow. Others will land and suck the Earth dry of all electrical and atomic energy resources.
Now you're the only one that knows, and you will never tell.
Ronan! A metallic vampire stalking the Earth. Its purpose? To drain it of its energy, every last bit of vitality. Cronus, absorbing all the dynamic strength of this universe to make him so powerful as to withstand any force.
So, what happened to the mice?
Oh, we dumped them off under a tree. I have no idea what happened to the mice. I assume that what happened to the mice is what I told my daughter would happen to the mice, which is, I assume we made some predator bird very happy. Like, what? What? I never see house mice. This is great. There are no houses anywhere around here.
That's the problem with house mice today.
Yeah. They're always in the houses. And getting themselves killed by humans and then thrown in the dumpster. So here's the way I explained it. I said, look, they're probably not going to live till nightfall, right? We're going to dump them off here under this tree. That barn over there is so far away, it'd be like us running to Toledo. Right, I said, between here and there, there are probably 800 things that kill mice and eat them, right? But killing them with a mousetrap in our house is probably the most undignified way that they could possibly die, right? Being out there, even though it's not their natural habitat, like their natural habitat is our house, but out there in that natural, it's nature, it's circle of life. If we throw them in the landfill, what's going to happen to them? They're just going to lay there. They're not even going to provide nutrition to some other part of nature. By this time, I think she wasn't even listening anymore because I was going on too long. But but she took my point and she agreed with me that probably, yeah, you're probably right. They probably died not long after we dumped them off, but at least they provided a meal for another part of nature. Okay, so that must have had an impact because we caught one more. We haven't caught one in a couple of weeks. So I think we took care of the problem. But the last one we caught, my wife and one of my kids took it to a house, an abandoned house in the ghetto and dropped it off on the porch of that house. I was like, I'm not sure that was that much better. It's like, well, you know, the house is their natural habitat. I was like, the house is their natural habitat because there's a lot of easy food, like crumbs. Just chew this little bag of sugar, chew into this bag of nuts, get these crumbs that nobody wiped up last night. That's why the house is their habitat. You go, I mean, what's in that abandoned house? Like maybe some meth that somebody dropped.
Great. Now you got meth mice.
Meth mice with meth mouth. Nothing worse than a mouse with meth mouth. So anyway, that's where they dropped that one off. Now, every time we pass that house, they're like, ooh, it's the mousy house. I wonder how he's doing. I'm like, he was dead 10 minutes after we dropped him off. It's the circle of life. You drop the mouse off. And now you have a mouse with meth mouth.
Meth right. Mouth mice.
Meth mouth mice. That was the name of... No, that wasn't the name of anything. That was no marketing person would let you name anything meth mouth mice. Welcome back to the show. For those of you that came back early, we apologize. We were just having a little discussion about the mice. Paul felt like he needed closure.
I did. I was worried.
I put a picture up on the Book of Face of my daughter dumping the mice off.
See, that's that Facebook algorithm. I didn't see it.
I should have done a Facebook Live. That's what there I should have done. All right. Hey. Have you seen any movies lately?
As a matter of fact, I have.
What did you see?
Wait for it. Get the bots ready. Avengers: Infinity War.
I'm a robot.
I hope the audience understands what the hell that even means.
Well, if they know us, they'll know what that means.
That's true. See how easy that works? Because then it makes you feel like, you know, it makes them do all the work.
And if they don't know us, or rather, if they don't know what it means, they're dead to us.
That's a bit extreme, but...
Well, it's kind of same thing.
Well, what that does then is that makes them automatically click, like, oh, I don't want to be dead to them.
So, so this is the one with Iron Man in it, right?
This is the one with everyone in it. Everyone, the joke is everyone but Daredevil, who was too busy defending bodegas from looters to join in an Infinity War.
We talked about what Avengers Infinity War is last week. So there's been a good primer. It's 10 years in the making. Mm-hmm. It started with the first Iron Man, correct?
Right.
And then all of these Marvel movies over the last 10 years have been in the same universe, the same timeline, the same. I mean, that's unusual, right? When you have superhero movies, it's unusual to have that degree of consistency and that degree of continuity.
It's almost unheard of entirely in the history of cinema, honestly. Yeah, you have franchises, you know, James Bond, Batman, and, you know, like we talked about, the Bourne Identity. There's a bunch of those Bourne movies. There's a bunch of Mission Impossible movies. But as far as a joint collection of movies, the Avengers movie was the first time that they'd actually done something like that where they brought in all these characters. But this is unprecedented in cinema. And we went this weekend, the kids and I, to see it. And it was fun, too, because it's like I had all my little ducks because... You know, we had my daughter Arlo, Atticus. Aramis didn't go because she's still small and doesn't really, you know, get into it too much. But my former stepson Aiden was with us too, so it was kind of crazy to have the kids with me. And we saw we went to a 3D showing of it, which.
Ooh.
I wasn't aware we were going to see a 3D showing of it until we got there.
Every damn movie is 3D now.
You know, I used to be anti-3D till I watched Kong Skull Island.
Ah.
And I'm just like, every movie should be in 3D because it's amazing what they do now versus what they used to do.
I'm tired of these giant freaking monkeys on this big island. And I hope they burn in hell.
Have you seen Kong Skull Island?
I have twice on my TV. So I've not seen it in the theater.
I can't tell you how many times I watched that movie. Interestingly enough, there were so many Avengers in Kong Skull Island, it was crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
Examples.
There's one. Samuel Jackson.
Wait, which Avenger is he?
He's Nick Fury.
Okay.
You really need to watch some movies once in a while, man.
Yes and no. Yes, because I would sound intelligent while talking to you about these movies. But no, because I'm kind of hoping that the listeners get a little bit of entertainment out of my ignorance. Although, it may just be frustration and like, I can't listen to this anymore and they're turning this off. If that's the case, I wish somebody would tell me. And then I go watch all these movies.
Right? Well, it was like during the live show with MP. Is he being ironic? No, he's serious this time. But anyway, Kong Skull Island had the guy who plays Nick Fury, the guy who plays Loki, and the girl who is soon to be playing...
Your ex-wife. Captain
Marvel, yes.
Your future ex-wife.
My future ex-wife, Captain Marvel.
Did you say girl?
Yes. Girls can be captains.
No, I get that. I get it. No, since I was having a vicarious headache.
Oh.
Because I know at least two of our listeners probably just scrunched their forehead. Like,
Vicarious Headache. That's a Beck album, isn't it?
Yes.
The Infinity Gauntlet is this weapon of mass destruction that Thanos has had built to destroy the universe. And my son wanted to make one to take to the movies with him. So Arlo and him and me, we worked on this for about a week and a half. We even got it to where the Infinity Stones could magnetically stick on the gauntlet. And basically, it looked like a orange version of like Hellboy's big hand. It turned out really cool.
That's great.
So he took it to the movies, and you know, we had some fun with that. And then it was so funny because every superhero that has been in the Marvel Universe essentially was in this movie, and it was like about, I don't know, half hour into the movie when we realized that Spider-Man was going to be popping up. My daughter's sitting next to me, and Atticus is on the other side of her, and we start hearing this tapping noise. And she looks at me and she's like, "Is that you?" And I'm like, "No, that's your brother. He's over there. He's so in the red, just revved up for Spider-Man to show up. He's just vibrating in his chair. He was just like going bonkers with it." And I told him, I told Arlo, I'm like, "Your brother's gonna fart a little bit here in just a minute." You know, so Spider-Man shows up and it's amazing and fun and great. And then when Captain America shows up, I leaned over and went, "I just farted a little bit too." And then like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, because this movie's like 3.5 hours long. Like 20 minutes later, Winter Soldier, who is played by Sebastian Stan, who is apparently dreamy, shows up, and my daughter leans over and goes, "I just farted a little bit too." Like, so
apparently your family, it's a genetic thing. When you get excited, you fart.
I'm just glad that's all they did.
I'm pooping in my pants.
Yeah, it was such... I'll tell you what, man, that movie delivered. It's worth waiting the 10 years. And we no sooner got home, because we saw it, okay, it debuted in the States here on Thursday night. So then you had Thursday night, Friday, and then Saturday morning was when we saw it. When we got home, YouTube had exploded. I mean, it was just like, there was so many review videos and speculation videos, and it was just insane how well received this movie was.
How awesome. So we got to experience it with your kids, man.
Well, you know, when you think about it, my son is 14. Iron Man came out when he was 4 years old, and it has been his 4 years old. It has been his life,
yeah,
building up to this moment.
Yep. He does not remember a world that did not have this Marvel universe.
Right. And it was just so much fun because we had never really, I've been to the movies with my kids off and on, you know, take this one, take that one. But with the exception of Karen not being there or Aramis not being there. It was like, it was so cool to have them all there for it, wow. You know, because we'd been watching them since they were, these movies since they were little. So it was a lot of fun. And apparently there were so many people the night before that the bathrooms ran out of toilet paper. Because my daughter got up to go to, after Sebastian Stan shows up, my daughter, she's like, because she bought this gigantic vat of soda pop and had to go to the bathroom. So she runs off and she's gone like 10 minutes. And I'm like, "Did she fall in?" Well, she finally comes back and she's like, "There was no toilet paper. I kept waiting and waiting and nobody would, no, there was nobody could have any toilet paper."
Can you spare a square?
apparently, when we got out and, you know, everybody was making the bathroom runs, this guy comes out of the bathroom and he's like, there ain't a goddamn square of toilet paper in that whole bathroom. It's like you had one job, toilet paper guy.
I love that was his comment.
Mm-hmm.
In the entire bathroom, in the vastness of this bathroom, there's not one square. Is there not one square of toilet paper in this entire bathroom? Do you ever, when you walk out of movies, maybe you did it this one. Sometimes I walk out of movies and I feel like I could be the guy in the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
So did you feel like this, what do you call it when it's unjust? This misjust?
Injustice?
This injustice cannot stand.
You start hearing the dramatic music and you jump over the counter, you know, you're tossing out big packets of paper towels.
You get toilet paper. You get toilet. Suddenly you're Trump in Puerto Rico throwing toilet paper at people. Oh, this is great. This is great toilet paper. This is the best toilet paper. Here, you get toilet paper. You get toilet paper. Everybody gets toilet paper. I'm Iron Man. I tell you what, though, that whole story is inspiring because you were somewhat intentional about it, but it's not like you could have imagined that Marvel and Disney were going to do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's like, hey, let's go see Iron Man with your 4-year-old son, right? And through all the trials, tribulations, everything, not just trials, but also tribulations, of the past 10 years, like, this has been a constant. Like, no matter what weird, chaotic, unfortunate, uncontrollable, chaotic thing, I say chaos twice.
I like chaos. I love it.
Whatever was going on, this was something that every year or two, like, there was another. Let's go see this together, right?
Right. And to put things in perspective a little bit, too, like when Avengers came out, my son was still so small that when Bruce Banner hulks out, it scared the shit out of him. Because, you know, he's used to seeing the Hulk, you know, on the printed page and on cartoons and stuff. But no, here's this gigantic rage machine just shredding through, you know, the scene. I mean, so he, you know, now it's old hat for him, but back then he was like, I had to put my arm around him Hulk was raging through the scenes.
You know, so it's good and it's bad. I mean, you know, every cloud has a silver lining. It also has a dark shadow. And I think the dark shadow in this is I don't have anything like that with my kids. So you should feel very lucky. You should count your blessings.
Every goddamn day.
I love it when people do that. It's like, I'm going to take this happy moment. I'm going to remind you that it's temporary. And that hug your kids. Because you know what? In a blink of an eye, they'll be old and they're going to hate you.
And I'm going to somehow make it about me.
Yeah, exactly.
Enough about you. Let's make it about me.
I'm the world champion of making it about me. Hey, that was a pretty good review, man. I don't know why anybody wouldn't immediately go out and see this movie. Oh, here's a question I had. So do I have to go back and watch all the rest? I saw like all 5 Iron Man movies. Do I have to see all the rest of the... Are they as good as Wonder Woman? Well, I ask it that way.
I would skip the Hulk. And watch Avengers Age of Ultron kind of half-assedly because it was not good. There were so many production problems with that movie that, you know, when the director just throws his hands up and says, fuck it, I quit halfway through the movie, and then they have to scramble to finish it, it shows.
Ah.
You don't necessarily need to watch all the sequels, although I totally recommend watching all the Captain America movies because they're kind of the foundation of everything as far as a lot of the characters get introduced in these movies. in the Cap movies. And I recommend the Guardians of the Galaxy movies for two reasons. One, Infinity War is a cosmic movie, and Guardians brings in the cosmic element. And they're hysterical. They're just fun movies. And I recommend Doctor Strange because it's just badass. There's just no other way to describe how badass Doctor Strange is.
I'm not one to tell you how to do your job, but that's kind of like I'm not racist, but I'm not one to tell you how to do your job, but I'm about to tell you how to do your job. is there any way that you could put, because I know our listeners follow comics and they watch the movies and all that. And I also know that some of our listeners are like me and they're a little bit ignorant about that universe. Is there any way you could put a list? Like I wasn't writing down what you just said and it was a little bit confusing because it was like you would say there's this movie and don't see that and then see the sequels, but don't see. Could you put a list on the YouTube page or the put it on the page? Of the movies we have to see before we go see Avengers Infinity War. I'm a robot.
Sure. I'll write up like a, not a review, but like a list and hit the high points on it and just kind of let you know which ones to avoid and which ones to watch and why.
Be very helpful.
I'll put that on the page. I will hashtag put that on the page.
Hashtag thank you for putting that hashtag on the page. You know what? I think what I got out of it is, take your damn kids to see these movies.
Yeah.
You know, the thing I remember most about Wonder Woman is how much my kids loved it. And then it's on, I don't know if it's Amazon Prime or Netflix, Hulu, some goddamn thing. And so we've watched it a couple more times. And they just, every time we watch it, they're glued, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure the Marvel movies, they'd probably be glued to those, especially if Captain Marvel is played by a woman. Sure they would love that.
Yeah, they will. They're building her up to be something spectacular. And
they're like, oh, crap. DC has a woman who is spectacular. We need a spectacular woman.
Well, what Marvel did in one of the best dick moves ever is a couple of years back, Marvel changed her code name from Ms. Marvel to Captain Marvel so that when she ended up in the cinematic universe, the DC universe can't make their Captain Marvel movie because they've already got a name, Captain Marvel, out there.
Oh, wait. So originally Captain Marvel was DC?
Originally Captain Marvel was... The Billy Batson Shazam Captain Marvel. That was created by Fawcett Comics back during the Golden Age. Got bought by DC because he was too close to Superman. They changed his name to Shazam a couple years ago when Marvel turned Ms. Marvel into Captain Marvel. But prior to Ms. Marvel, there was a Marvel had its own Captain Marvel. Who gave her powers, essentially. But they kind of streamlined everything, retconned everything, so that she's Captain Marvel now.
That's cool.
Yeah. It is totally a way to capitalize on Wonder Woman. I ain't even going to pretend that's not why they did it.
That's all right. I'm glad they're doing
But who cares if they give us a good, strong female character who kicks ass and takes names, I'll be happy. I don't care who the hell it is.
When you say Shazam, all I remember is that when we were kids, that Saturday morning show that came on just before ISIS.
Oh, mighty ISIS.
The power of Shazam or something like that. Yeah.
And he would say, Shazam. And then I remember thinking, is this like Gomer Pyle? What is this?
No, Gomer Pyle got it from Shazam. That's all Shazam is. But what's so stupid about that is why? Okay, Shazam is Billy Batson's power word to become Captain Marvel. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And it would also change him back into Billy Batson. So here you go. You're like, you're flying around. You're like holding up this plane and you're, you know, trying to save the day. And, you know, somebody yells out, look, it's Captain Marvel. No, I'm Shazam. Oh, damn it. You know, it's the dumbest thing ever. But they had to do it to avoid lawsuits and stupid shit like that.
Good point. I don't know. I got some bullet points I have to run through. And we're just going to go quick. You don't have to respond, and I'm not going to expound on these. But I got to run through them. Otherwise, they're going to stay in my head forever.
Is this like a lightning round?
Yeah. This is like a rapid fire round. It is a... It sounds like a lightning round, but due to podcast copyrights, it is a rapid fire round. All right. There's Captain Marvel. How come there's not a Captain DC? Earlier, you said your former stepson. I thought being a stepson was like being a Marine. Once a stepson, always a stepson. All right. And then... this one might take a little more explanation. We were in the car, and you know that musical Hamilton that everybody's into?
Oh, God. It's the whitest musical ever, and that's pretty bad.
It's the whitest musical. It may not be the whitest, but if you took, like, the actors and how black they are and how white the audiences are, there's probably the biggest divide. Ever. Yes. Between the cast and the audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Pence was confused when he was being lectured. He was like, well, hold on a second. I thought this was a white musical. I know the cast is black, but this country has a long, proud history of having black people entertain white people. And I thought it was going to be that kind of musical. And in fact, I thought there'd be music in this musical. All I hear is that Jungle Boogie stuff.
I'm sure that is exactly how the conversation went, too.
And now they're talking to me, apparently. I'm just sitting here trying to enjoy a music, a Jungle Boogie-cle, trying to enjoy the minstrels. Shucking and jiving for me.
Soft shoeing.
And in a grand tradition of these United States. And now they're telling me a lecture. All right. So anyway, is that enough explanation of the musical? You know what I'm talking about, right? So
yes.
Anyway.
My oldest loves it. So yeah.
So my kids have not seen it. They haven't heard the music. They've heard a little bit of the music. Every other kid at school has seen it, has the soundtrack, can't get enough, right? So my fourth grader has had American history. My seventh grader has not, due to like when we switch schools and all that stuff. So at the current school, they teach American history in eighth grade, right? So because of when we switch schools, the fourth grader's already had American history. Seventh grader has not. And so... From the back seat on the way to school this morning, she goes, my fourth grader is like, I forget the kid's name, but it was like, you know, Lucas, he lies. He told a lie the other day. I was like, oh, what lie did he tell? He said that he has the gun that Aaron Burr killed Hamilton with. I was like, wow, that's quite a lie.
Just going straight for the jugular with that one.
Yeah. My seventh grader goes, dude, spoiler, now I don't need to see the musical Hamilton. And I'm cracking up. I'm laughing. She's like, what are you laughing at? That was terrible. This was, you got to say spoiler alert. I was like, that's really funny. It's really funny. She's like, what do you mean that's funny? I go, you're kidding, right? She's like, no, I'm not kidding. She just spoiled the whole musical for me. I'm like, you know, kind of the point.
At that age, they don't quite get that kind of humor.
I was like, No, everybody knows. Pretty much everybody knows that, you know, Aaron Burr killed Alexander Hamilton. She's like, really? He did? He was killed? I was like, yeah, he was killed. Well, he'd be dead by now anyway. But yeah, he was killed. That was kind of one of the reasons he's so famous. She's like, wow. Now we're going to do a little something we like to call hashtag. What's on the page? So, Paul Schultz put this one on the page, but I thought it was so good, even though it's a little bit incestuous, because it refers back to an earlier show, a William Wright. You may want to look into this martial arts discipline, the parent stare. And I swear to God, I watched this thing. And I could not stop watching it. I could not stop laughing.
I know it's ridiculous that people pay money for a guy to teach them this kind of baloney.
Okay, so here's how I saw it, right? So I read your comment and I watched it, and I totally thought that this video was meant to suggest in a funny way and to be funny and say, ooh, what if the parent stare were martial art, right? This is how it would work. Because the guy's stare is exactly what the dad's stare looks like. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's hilarious. He got the whole dojo to like go along with it. He got these other guys to go along with it. And somebody said, this will be funny. I'll give you the parent stare. Then you guys fall down, right? And then, so I thought that's what it was. And that's why I laughed so hard. I kept watching it. And I was like, oh, it's perfect. The guy has the parent stare. And then I saw Andy's post. And I watched that. I watched the whole thing. And I was like, oh, wow. No, this is a thing. I didn't realize this was a thing. But
it's like they're like Nintendo, you know, martial arts characters or something.
My favorite part. So I watched the Andy's entire thing, and I could have posted comment after comment after comment, because every time I would see one of the segments, I had something funny to say about it.
I was the same way.
It was just great how, like when the people would come up. I just love how these guys are so deluded. Like, the people at their dojo have gotten so good at pretending to be knocked down by their stare or whatever that these guys believe it. They believe it so much that they let somebody else come up who's not in on the joke.
Yeah.
Like, actually attack them, and they get their ass kicked.
Yeah.
And they got to be going, what? What just happened? So funny. We've been getting some pretty good what's on the page. We might have to plan maybe next week or the week after for like going through a bunch of these, because we've been getting some pretty good ones. So we have two assignments for you, dear listener. We're getting close to the end, but don't be sad. Don't think of it as the end. Think of it as a break, a super long break, one that lasts 7 days. And we're going to ask you to keep paying attention to the page, because we'd like you to hashtag put it on the page. Keep doing that. Also, share it with your friends. Share it with your enemies. Share it with your frenemies, whatever that is. Also, we're going to put a live video up. I'm definitely going to do one. I don't know if Paul is, but I am. Describing the homework assignment of telling us a story about being a parent. And you know what? If you're not a parent, that's cool too. Tell us a story about some interaction you had with your parents.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Lord knows we've been doing that for 4 years.
So. Yes. There's two sides to every story. Especially parent stories. For Jeff Zuckerberg, Captain Marvel, and Captain DC, and for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson, and nothing you just heard
was true. Was true. Was true.
It's going to be one of those nights.
Well, the good thing about it is I don't have to do the post-production work.